reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Communications.
Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to join in the conversation here this afternoon. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you here this afternoon. You can give us a call, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. The telephone lines are open, and you can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Let's go ahead and open with the word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. We do pray that you bless the program. Use it for your glory today. Help us to be able to encourage Christians today and be able to help even people who aren't saved be able to see the truth of the Word of God and their need to trust Christ as their Savior. Bless you. Use the program today for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope that you had a good Christmas celebration here this past week, and certainly we had a great time at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, where I'm the pastor. Our Christmas Eve candlelight service is always one of our favorite services of the year. We had that Tuesday night, and we had a really good turnout, had some visitors, and it's just really nice to be able to spend some time and just to center on Jesus Christ and to remember what we're supposed to celebrate at Christmas time. You know, we get caught up with all of the shopping and the hustle and bustle and making sure that you got the right gift for this person, the right gift for that person. And of course, they're all going to run off to the stores yesterday and today and tomorrow trying to return things and exchange things that you spent all that time trying to find. But no, it's just nice to have time to spend and remember who Jesus is and why he came into the world. And so we really had a good time with that, and certainly I'm glad for everybody that helped make that possible there, our candlelight Christmas Eve service this past Tuesday at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. And of course, then had a kind of a quiet day on Christmas, just a family basically, and we just were able to spend a little time together and just relax and just a nice quiet evening. But I hope you had a blessed Christmas as well, and hope you've had a chance to remember the opportunity that you have each year at this time to present Christ to a lost and dying world around you. And that's what we like to do on this program, try to present Christ and try to talk about what's happening in the world to give you an understanding of the battle that we are in. We talk about that old phrase, you know, remember Jesus is the reason for the season, and there's good reason for that, because there's a lot of effort in the world around us to push Christ out of Christmas, to get rid of any talk of Jesus Christ. And as a veteran, it pains me to have to say that our military services are kind of on the forefront of pushing Christ out of Christmas. And the stories just seem to pop up more and more every year about how somehow the military is banning Christmas, or at least references to Christ at Christmas time. Camp Shelby, Army Camp Shelby down in Mississippi, home of the 158th Infantry Brigade, was back in the news again with another attack on Christianity, another attack on Christ, and we shouldn't be surprised, because when we see the world and its animosity towards all things having to do with Christ, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 18, Jesus said, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And he's reminding his followers that the world hates him, the whole world system. He continues on in verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. And so we understand that when we see animosity towards people who want to sing Christmas carols at VA hospitals or have a nativity scene displayed somewhere or just be a witness for Christ in their workplace, we understand that the world hates Christ. And so because the world hates Christ, it's going to hate his followers. And again, there at Camp Shelby in Mississippi, the home of the 158th Infantry Brigade, they had an event where they had the equal opportunity representative at this briefing was upset because somebody during the course of this gathering, as they had this briefing, there were some of the soldiers gathered together and they were talking, and they brought up the subject of an upcoming Christmas football game. A lot of people, you know, Christmas football game is kind of a tradition for a lot of people, especially in the military, and the equal opportunity representative officer immediately told the attendees at this briefing that they could not use the word Christmas in referring to this upcoming Christmas football game. And they said it was not allowed. And a soldier there said almost the entire room blew up. Everybody was frustrated. The equal opportunity rep told our commander that not everyone celebrates Christmas, and we couldn't say Christmas celebration. It had to be holiday celebration. Now think about this. This is an effort to not offend non-Christians. There may be somebody who is Jewish. There may be somebody who is Muslim. There may be somebody who is an atheist. There may be somebody who followed some kind of pagan religion. Maybe somebody who followed the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Who knows? So you might offend somebody by saying Christmas. Now, Michael Berry was an attorney for the Liberty Institute, which is a legal firm that's representing the soldier that filed a complaint regarding this. He said, it's unbelievable that the Army would ban Christmas like it's a bad word. And he said, they're treating Christmas like it's pornography. And he went on to say, as a matter of fact, the Army actually treats pornography better than it does Christmas. See, it's okay if you're insulted by seeing pornography, but far be it from the Army to condone insulting people's sensibilities and harming people's psyches by forcing them to hear Christmas or anything that would resemble Christ or Jesus at this time. Now, this isn't the first time that Camp Shelby's been in the news for this. I actually talked about it on the radio before. Earlier this year, there was a briefing at Camp Shelby that labeled the American Family Association, as well as other evangelical Christians, domestic hate groups. And that was in their briefing until the Secretary of the Army kind of stepped in and ordered that briefings on extremist organizations stop labeling evangelical Christian ministries as domestic hate groups. But the problem is, this is just a symptom of our society. Now, I'm talking about the Army and the Air Force and the VA and things like that, partly because I'm a veteran and it pains me that the military services are doing this, but also, when you think about the military usually has been more traditional, more conservative, generally more a defender of American traditional values than just about any other branch of the government and even of society. That's just been part of its nature. But we have been seeing in the last 4 or 5 years in particular, and it's been longer than that, but really in the last 4 or 5 years in particular, this concerted effort to basically demonize Christians in the military, labeling them terrorists. And then when a little opposition comes up, they back off for a time, but it keeps coming back. And here's another example of it. And if you want to weigh in on the conversation too, you can give us a call here at Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673. It's our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. But down in Texas, there was an elementary school, Grace Academy in Prosper, Texas. This is near Dallas. They wanted to bring some homemade Christmas cards to the residents at the VA hospital near Dallas. And they spent some time hand-making these cards, and they wanted to bring them in. A little fourth grader by the name of Gracie Brown said, "I'm hoping that it might make their day because their family might live far away and they might not have somebody to celebrate Christmas with. And I'd like them to know why or know they've not been forgotten and somebody wanted to say thank you." And inside of the crowd or the card, her brother Luke said it includes "Merry Christmas." And when you open it up, it says, "Thank you for your service," and it has an American flag. Now, how offensive is that? A handmade Christmas card by elementary school children that says "Merry Christmas, thank you for your service," and has an American flag to be hand-delivered by the students to residents of a veterans hospital outside of Dallas at Christmas time. Well, they were told that the cards could not be delivered because a representative of the hospital said that it had language in there, which, and I'm going to paraphrase here, essentially was non-inclusive hate speech, because they had verses or writing in the cards that said things like "God bless you" and "Merry Christmas." And so the representative of the hospital said that they could have no cards that said "God bless you," there could be no religious references, and they could not even have a "Merry Christmas" on the cards that were being distributed here. And, you know, it's really sad. The teacher, Susan Chapman, one of the teachers here, she's married to a veteran. It was her idea to have the kids put together these Christmas cards. She didn't think there'd be any problem with that. And they took them to the hospital, and when they were, they called the hospital to arrange to come into the hospital to take them there. And the representative that they talked to said, "Well, that's great. We're thrilled to have them. Except the only thing is, we can't accept anything that says Merry Christmas or God bless you or any scripture references because of all the red tape." Now, anybody that's been in the military knows the military loves its red tape, and the VA certainly loves its red tape. Anything associated with the government loves its red tape. But what kind of red tape, other than red tape that might have been used to seal a Christmas package or seal the Christmas card with, what kind of red tape are they talking about that prevents handmade Christmas cards from elementary school students to our veterans that are stuck in a veterans hospital over Christmas? What kind of red tape is there involved in allowing them to see a card that says "Merry Christmas" or "God bless you," or have any reference at all to the scriptural meaning of Christmas, the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, well, those are isolated incidents. How about this one in Augusta, Georgia? In Augusta, Georgia, there's a VA hospital, the Charlie Norwood VA Medical Center, and they announced a new policy here at the hospital. The hospital spokesman Brian Rothwell said, "Military service veterans, male and female, represent people of all faiths. It is out of respect for every faith that the Veterans Administration gives clear guidance on what spiritual care is to be given and who is to give it." Okay, well, that on the face of it seems to make reasonable sense. However, when a group from Augusta's Alleluia Community School came to sing traditional Christmas songs, something that they had done in 2011 and 2012 without any problems, when they wanted to come and sing again this year to the veterans that were stuck in the VA hospital over Christmas time, they were told that they could not sing any spiritual song, any songs that talked about Christ, any songs that had religious references. In fact, they were given a list of only 12 Christmas songs that the hospital's pastoral, get that, the pastor that's serving the hospital, the pastoral service, that had deemed appropriate for celebration within the hearing range of all veterans. And this is the statement that, again, Brian Rothwell, the hospital spokesman here for the Charlie Norwood VA Medical Center in Augusta, Georgia, he said that we regret any inconvenience or misunderstanding that this policy creates. VA policy is welcoming but respectful of all faiths and protection of each veteran's right to religious freedom and protection from unwelcomed religious material. And they pointed out these are the same songs that somebody in the hospital playing a radio would have heard on the radio inside the hospital. And any of the veterans, if they had been in the day room or something, would have heard these songs playing on the radio or on TV on some of the Christmas specials. But when a group of children come to try and encourage and thank these veterans for their service and make their holidays a little happier, they're told they're not allowed to do it because, you know, you may offend somebody. I just look at this. I think this is not my military. This is not the military that I served in. I'm beginning to think this isn't the country I grew up in sometimes when you see these things. There is a war on Christ, and Christmas is just one of the areas where it comes out. And again, as I said earlier in the program, the Gospel of John, where Jesus is talking to his disciples in John 15, verse 18, he said, "If the world hates you, remember that it hated me before it hated you." And see, the world hates him, and the world hates Christ. See, men love darkness. They don't want the light that Christ brings in when he reminds them of their sin. Now, let me come back up here to something. And they're saying that almost that they're echoing this idea that it's unconstitutional to mix Christ and Christmas with our military and our VA hospitals and our veterans at Christmas time. That's the same reasoning that keeps the nativity scenes off from the town square at this time of year and everything. And as we're coming to the end of the year here and we think about this, the time to begin this fight to defend Christianity in the public square, whether it's in the town square or the nativity scene, whether it's singing Christmas carols to residents at a VA hospital, whether it's giving Christmas cards to residents of a VA hospital in Texas, whether it's an Army base in Mississippi or the Air Force Academy in Colorado or wherever it is that these things crop up, we need to be vigilant all year long. And it's at this time of year, we probably talk about it more because it really comes to the surface more. People see it more. But let me remind you that in our Constitution, the First Amendment to the Constitution, which if you search it out and you go online, Google Leland, John Leland, and find out the history behind John Leland and the Baptists of Virginia and the reason that we have the First Amendment to our Constitution, you'll understand it a lot more. And also, as you read the First Amendment of the Constitution, you'll notice that the First Amendment is all one sentence. And let me just read it here a second. The Constitution in the First Amendment says, "Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." That's one sentence. That's not a series of sentences. And that's important. See, we're used to short, choppy sentences today. One of the reasons given sometimes for the modern version, such as the New International Version, the New American Standard Version and such, of the Bible, is that they're more understandable and easier to read because they take those long sentences that you find in the King James Version of the Bible and they chop them up into short little sentences that are easier to digest. Well, the problem with that is when you chop up some of these longer sentences like we have in the First Amendment, you lose meaning because you begin to think that those little those little short choppy sentences stand alone from each other. And if you're somebody who reads a King James Version of the Bible on a regular basis, and I encourage you to, that's God's Word preserved for the English-speaking world. And the King James Version of the Bible preserves the long sentence structure that you find in the original Greek and Hebrew, which preserves the idea much better than when you chop it up in short sentences. Now, let's come back here to the First Amendment again. In the First Amendment, when it says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, there's no period there. It's a comma, and it says, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now, let me pause there for a moment. The sentence does not end there. There's a semicolon, but I've said it on the program before. When you prohibit free exercise of religion, you then begin to prohibit the other freedoms that we talk about in the First Amendment. And let me give you an example. The officer at Fort Shelby, or Camp Shelby, I guess it is, and also the VA spokesman at both of these VA hospitals, what they have done is they have prohibited the free exercise of Christian religion on the grounds that it might offend somebody. Now, think about this for a second. If the purpose is to not offend, and no matter what you do, you're going to offend somebody, because they certainly offended the Christians, they certainly offended the students, they certainly offended the soldiers, they certainly offended VA residents. If you're going to offend somebody, no matter what you do, wouldn't you want to offend the least number of people? It's kind of like when an atheist goes through a town, sees a nativity scene on the town square, and 99.9% of the town is in favor of it, and he rallies that 0.1% to his side to say they're offended, and a judge comes along and says, oh, we can't offend anybody, so we're going to offend 99.9% of the town so that we don't offend this 0.1%. Does that make any sense? No, it doesn't. That's why the Bible says a fool has said in his heart there is no God. Well, here it is. When you begin to prohibit the free exercise of somebody's religion, you're actually establishing the religion of secularism. Actually, that's another area here, but I want to concentrate on this part of the clause. When you begin to prohibit people from exercising their Christian faith as a government official, do you know what you're doing? You're abridging the freedom of speech. Those children were not allowed to voice a song that would hopefully encourage some of those veterans in the hospital. Those soldiers were not allowed to say a Christmas football game or a Christmas celebration. No, you're telling them what they can or can't say. See, when you prohibit the free exercise of religion, you are now abridging the freedom of speech. That's why there's no period between prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. There's a semicolon there. And because what we're seeing is what happens when the government makes laws respecting the establishment of religion and prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Here's what happens. Free speech is abridged. The freedom of the press is abridged, because it says we're abridging the freedom of speech, comma, or of the press. Hey, they wrote out some Christmas cards. They weren't allowed to deliver them. They had things written in the cards that the government didn't approve of. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. The school students were not allowed to peaceably assemble at the VA hospital and sing and express their right to freedom of assembly and also their freedom of speech. And the next thing that falls is the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, because eventually we're going to come to the time when they're going to say, Christians, you can only talk about what you believe at home. You know, keep it in your home, keep it in your churches. Don't talk about it where somebody in public might hear about it. We don't want to hear that. Well, remember, the world hates us. Not because it's us in particular, because the world hates Christ. Men love darkness and they want to stay in that darkness. They don't want the light of Christ to shine through and tell them of their sin. Well, we want to encourage you. Trust Christ as your Savior. Come out and visit us at the Bible Baptist Church, and we can show you how that you can learn about what Christ did, why Christ came into the world. I know it's past Christmas now, a couple days after Christmas. New Year's is coming up. What better way to start the new year than with a new life in Christ? When you acknowledge Him as your Savior and confess your sin, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, died on the cross and paid for your sin with His own blood, that He was buried and rose again the third day, victorious over sin and death. God bless. Happy New Year.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word. The preceding program has been sponsored by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield.
The preceding program's views, claims, and/or representations may not have necessarily reflected those of AM 1220.